Here are smoothies. Okay. So guys, what are some? No. What are bugs? Thank you. Bugs. Explain. But what are the bug issues? What? No, I know what the word sharing means. What are specific bug issues that come up in smoothies? Give me specific fruits.
You can't have bugs.
Okay. Berries, strawberries, raspberries. Berries are always ripe for bugs. Always, right? Berries are incredibly difficult to check. We're talking about other fruits also that may have problems checking. So the question is, the following, right? As we'll see, let's just get started a little bit and then we'll take questions, okay? So we have the Kingdom of course, the parts of Shmini, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat bugs. Okay, it's correct. You can't eat shrubs. We know. It's Allah. Good. Says the Gemara in Makos, right? If you've ever learned Makos before, which I assume is all of you at some point in some context. Gemara in the third paragraph of Makos says, Tisek, Risek Tishan Amon, right? Person grinds up 9 bugs, right? And then what happens? So 9 bugs are mashed up, but the 10th bug is whole, right? So what's the deal? How many sets of Malkus do you get for eating 10 bugs, 9 that are crushed and 1 that's whole? What's the answer? Anyone? What? I have 10 bugs, right? So I crush up 9 of them, and I make it into a nice piece, and I eat those 9 bugs. And the 10th bug I leave whole and I eat that whole.
Eating the bug is like over 5 bugs.
Well, one second. The Gemara gives examples of situations where you can get multiple sets of Malkios depending on the type of bug that you're eating. Maybe it's an aquatic bug, maybe it's a regular bug. Correct. So we're not talking about that right now, but I'm just asking, this situation, a regular bug, not a regular bug. I crush 9 bugs and 10 whole bug, and I eat all the bugs together. How many sets of Malkios do you get for that? What? Look at the Gemara Malkios. Look at the Gemara Malkios. I'm Rav Yehuda. Let's say a guy eats the bugs that are inside a lettuce, cabbage, whatever, some kind of fruit, a vegetable like that. So you get malchus for the din called sheretz asheretz alar. The Parsha Shmini, Torah says, you're not allowed to eat shrubs in that crawl on the ground. Then the Gemara says, Ahuda achal binisa de bekarva v'nagdi Rav Yehuda. One second. We'll get there. So Rav Yehuda gave malchus to the guy who ate these bugs, the lot. The law of the Torah says he gave malchus. Amrabai, okay, so this next Gemara are the examples where you can get multiple malchus for eating one bug, right? So we're going to skip that for now because it's not so relevant to what we want to talk about. Skip to three lines at the bottom, end of the line. Amar Rava Barakuna. Resek Tisha Nemalim Behevi Echarchai, the Hishliman Lichazais. So the following situation. I crush up 9 bugs, I have a 10th whole bug, and the 9 crushed up plus the 10th whole bug adds up to Lichazais. If I eat less than a kezias, it's usher, but I'm not chayim malchus, right? You only chayim malchus for yisurei achila, it's a piece of kezias. If I eat less than a kezias, it's usher. No. Regular yisurei achila, the din is always a kezias, okay? Min hasdam. So how many sets of malchus do you get? So the Gemara says, don't give a fuck. It's 6 sets of malchus. Why? Hey mishon b'ya, yeah, come mishon kezias nevila. 5 sets of malchus you get because you ate a whole creature. That was the Gemara we just skipped before. Gemara before delineated all the malchus you get for eating a regular bug, plus a 6th set of malchus you get because you made kezias of nevila, right? Of the animal that obviously you can't shech the bug, but the bug was treif mei karu. It's a nevila, so you get a 6th set of malchus for eating that. Kosher bug. Well, okay. That's a mesorah. That's more related to the last thing about turkey, about mesorah. Now we're not talking about that at all. That's not our discussion for now. Rabam Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Shnai Vehu. Depends on how big the bugs are, small the bugs are, whatever. Okay, so bottom line, Gemara says, you get 6 sets of malchus in this situation, okay? Now, Tosfos over here says the following. Think of the Tosfos, it's very important Tosfos, okay? Perush Shalit. So what does the word Chai mean? Chai doesn't mean that it's a lie, it means that it's a whole bug, in contrast to the other 9 that are crushed up. Avavadai Hava Meis, but the bug's dead. It doesn't mean Chai La'afuke Meis. It means chai la'afuki, that it's crushed up, right? Yirotzolomer chai ma'amesh, which becomes the Gemara means the bug is literally alive. That makes no sense. What are we trying to accomplish here? We're trying to find a situation where you're going to have a kezias of nevela. Nevela, by definition, means the animal's dead. The animal's crawling around. It's not a nevela, right? So obviously the animal has to be dead. But in Tomar Tos Azikashi, the lamalisha yehishalim bechazias minanu, will gain yishalav dishrotzim. Tosus has the following suggestion, which he's going to reject. Okay? Tosus, why do you need to have a whole creature, a whole bug, to be mashlim the kezias, right? Why do I need to have a whole bug to be mashlim the kezias? I'll give you malchus anyway for violating the law of eating shrutzen, right? Because that's why the Torah expresses itself when it says the law of eating a sheretz, it uses the word sochu, right? Whenever the Torah uses a lashon of achila, achila always has the connotation of a kezias. Whether it's a mitzvah, let's say achilas matzah, or whether it's an isra, let's say achilas shrutzen. You violate eating shrutzen, you get malchus eating shrutzen, you eat a kezias, and you yotzei matzah when you eat a kezias, right? So whenever the Torah expresses a lashon of achila, you should be getting malchus, right? So what do you need to have the whole bug for, right? I could be over the issue anyway, even without a whole bug. Tosu says the following. He says, don't say that. Why? The lake, he says, the also lomar debaina the isbe kazai. So you'll be done. This is the halisa. Did a mala kol shu chad. If you eat even the smallest amount of a bug, even hachos nikazayas, you're chai of malchus for that also, Tosu says. So then, imkira korach achila asa the midrash sheitz adika hizisim odalit akol chayim minay dechayim. So says, so that means that we want to make you chayav for every kezias of a bug that you consume that you eat. That's what we're trying to accomplish. So Tosfos says, why on earth does the Gemara actually mention the fact that we have a whole bug? So Tosfos says, yishmo malachach nakad efra sholim ikalavi deshratzim velo nichtilu veloshen achila umei osam lo yilkach yochel habriyash. It's a very important yisod at Tosfos. Tosa says the following distinction. The Torah that are not written in Lashon Achila, but Torah uses some other word to express that Isser. Anyone know an example of an Isser in the Torah where we know that there's an Isser Achila component to that Isser? But the Torah never actually writes, yes? What? Vaser Bechala, good, exactly. Losev Hashel Gedi Bachali Nimo. Torah never says don't eat, Vaser Bechala says don't cook. Gemara learns that, in fact, it writes it three times, it includes Isra Achila, but it's not in the Furash, right? Anyone else? Another example where Isra never says Achila? What about Yom Kippur? What about Yom Kippur? Being Nisem as Nafsho Sichem. Afflictors, at least they don't eat, says afflictors. That's why the Shir by Yom Kippur is bigger, right? It's a Gogeris, it's not a Kezias, yeah. Gira Nasha itself, we're not going to look at Gira Nasha right now, that itself is very unclear, mainly because there are no psukim in what I'll call normative halakha part of Chumash, it's all parts of Vayishlach, right? And Akein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael is Gira Nasha. So it does use the word yochlu, but it's also in the context of a story, so it's a little bit harder to define exactly. That is a little bit complicated, we're not going there right now. Okay, but there are a couple of Yisrael scattered in the Torah, Kilei HaKeren, for example, Shor HaNishka. The Torah doesn't use the word Achila explicitly, but we know it's implied that that Isser exists. Now, Tosus also makes the following ha'arim. Tosus says, we have a principle that's called Ein Isser Chal al Isser. What does that mean? What does Ein Isser Chal al Isser mean? Anyone? Ein Isser Chal al Isser. What do the words mean literally? Okay, good. So what does that mean? Yeah. Oh, so you said that in the gavra sense, but I wanted you to say it in the chefza sense. Meaning, if I have something, let's say I have a piece of meat which is straight. So if I hold in isra chal isra, that would mean that meat cannot now also become, let's say, I don't know, an aveiwa, or not also become some, you know, heck, whatever it is, right? Some other isra can't hold. Meaning, once something is usher, you can't make it more usher. So that's a big machlokas in the Gemara in multiple places. We seem to assume a halacha in isra chal isra, right? So Tosos Rick brings up this suggestion, this issue over here also. There's a famous suggestion of the Achrona made. Let's say a person's a chola on Yom Kippur. You have to eat on Yom Kippur, right? So what do we usually assume about eating on Yom Kippur? So we have a principle called Bachas in Kezayas. We always assume that the best way to eat on Yom Kippur, if you have to, is to eat less than a Kezayas at a time. So some of the posts have a wild suggestion. They say, well, think about it like this. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. That means if I eat tree food on Yom Kippur, it's less of an issue than eating kosher. Why? Because it's an issue to eat on Yom Kippur. But there's already an Isra Achila on Yom Kippur in Bechlal, so for me to now eat tree food on Yom Kippur, look older, would it be a debt? Because that's like an Isra Achal Isra. So I'm not holding the recommendation, it may be less hummer to eat tree food on Yom Kippur than it would be to eat kosher food on Yom Kippur. Or another application style. Let's say for a Polish Yeshua Sakana on Shabbos, right? Guy who's deathly ill, and that's the guy. And you need to do Mamish Malacha for him to save his life. So you have two options. Either you can feed him tree, or shech the cow for him and feed him the kosher meat. On the surface, you say, of course you feed in the tree. Tree, the Israel law of Malchus, shechting a cow and chop, this is the Chiyuv Skila, right? Of course you're going to do a lesser Israel patient. So many posts point out that's not the deal. Because we're not willing to actively feed a person tree, even if it means that you're going to have to do with something which normally would be an Israel Skila. We're not willing to actively feed a person tree if there's another option. Obviously, there's another option to feed a tree, right? But there's another option, even if it means violating something which normally would entail an Israel Skila, say better off that you shack the animal as opposed to feeding the chicken. Okay? So Tosfos discusses this question here also about various things being with Stari. You shouldn't be with Stari, but a situation where you have Go to page 56. Okay, a very famous Gemara at the end of Pesach. Gemara discusses Maror. Why do we give Maror in Charoses? Guys, why do we give Maror in Charoses? Okay, good. So that's one shot of the Gemara, right? One shot of the Gemara is for the Charoses, the Zeker, the Kit, for the bricks, right? The cement, the Kli Shoyim. What's the other shot? That's the Trishy answer of the Gemara. What's the more technical Halachic answer of the Gemara? Why do we give Maror in Charoses? The Gemara says, because Maror contains something called Papa. Papa was either some sort of poisonous worm or a poisonous sap of sorts. And if you ate it, it would kill you. It was poisonous. The Gemara says the way to undo and to destroy the kappa is by dunking it in charoses. Charoses somehow magically kills kappa. That's what the Gemara says in Pesach, right? You bring it to cure the kappa. Now, the Shach in Yoredeya writes the following. I have an animal that I shech. Okay? So now, a following situation. Let's say I'm sheching an animal, and now I have a suffix whether that animal is kosher. Let's say something came up in the what? Something came up in some part of the animal that I'm not 100% sure if the shita was a kosher shita. I just don't know. Maybe there was something intrinsically wrong with the animal. So the Shach writes, once I checked an animal, that animal has a cheskas heter. When an animal's alive, you obviously can't eat because it's eater menachai, right? Once I checked the animal, so I have no reason to assume the animal shouldn't be kosher, unless I know otherwise, right? So the animal at that point has a cheskas heter. I assume that the animal is perfectly kosher. And therefore, any suffix that crops up after the shita, where the din is, we're making up, right? That's the din. Whenever you have a chazaka that goes one way, let's say, for example, the Gemara says you have a woman and you're not sure what her status is. Is she married or single? And she comes from a different town. We don't know who she is. She walks to the bench and says, I'm a single woman. So we have no reason to not believe her. We have no reason to assume otherwise. We don't know anything about her. So she says she's single. And that's the din. So we always follow the chazaka. We always assume both based on the previous status quo. So the last thing we know about this animal is that a kosher shita was done. Kosher shita was done. That means the animal is perfectly kosher. Now, the Shach says, what would be the svara lahach? Why would somebody possibly be machmir for a shechted animal? Meaning, you just had a good svara. You said, if I shecht an animal, it has a cheskas heter, meaning to say that we assume the animal is kosher, and therefore any substance that comes up later on, we're going to be nakel about. What would possibly be the svara to say the opposite? What would you say that? Even though I shechted that animal, but nonetheless, if I have a substance, I have to be machmir anyway. Why would one ever say, the Shach suggests this possibility, why would one ever think that if I already checked the animal, which means that it has a cheskas heter, cheskas kashrus, right? Why would I ever think that the animal should be kosher for any sprinkles anyway? What? Well, let's not get into the rest of the Ramadan yet. You're asking a question that's way beyond this sugya. That's a Sheev Schweitzer question. This is way beyond what we're discussing right now. Okay? We have to accept that as fact. The Gemara Chulin has Makoros based on the dinim of Saras Habayis to prove that we always follow Chazaka. Now again, whether we should follow Chazaka, whether it's a good idea, that's a different issue. We're not talking about that right now. But the Maisel is a thing called Chazaka. And to rely on Chazaka, you're not relying on Chazaka, right? How do you know that your tefillin were kosher? How do you know your tefillin today? How do you know your tefillin were kosher? How do you know anything? How do you know the tefillin you're wearing were kosher today? How do you know? Based on Chazaka. How do you know Chazaka works? Because the din called Saras Habayis, right? What's the name of Saras Habayis? What does the Torah say? The Kohen has to walk out of the, how do you know the negative Saras is the same size? Because it's a Chazaka. It was 5 seconds ago, it was over a gris. So Hash is now, it's also over a gris. So therefore, that the assumption is that it didn't shrink at the same size. Yes, but that's not relevant. In fact, it's better than it never happened because it teaches us one of the most important halachas that we have in the world. Chazaka is based on a halacha that never happened. It's Saras Habayis. So the Shach says like this. The Shach says like the following. So on the one hand, we could say that when I shecht an animal, there's a cheskas kashrus, there's a cheskas heter, and therefore any suffix that crops up after the shita, I'm going to be mako. Why? Because it has a cheskas heter. I assume that it's good. Says the Shach, but I'll throw you out of svara to the opposite direction. What would be the opposite svara? Says the Shach, you know, it's a thing that's called bedikas hareya. What's bedikas hareya? How many of you have ever been to a shita before? Any of you ever seen a shita before? No? Bedika Sareya means, here's some this summer, hopefully some of you will see a shita. Bedika Sareya means to inspect the lungs of the animal. That's called glot kosher, right? A lock. Why do we check the lungs of the animal? And that's what we're looking for. Why do we check the lungs of the animal at all? Say that? Okay, so, okay. Make sure it's not a tree. But, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with that startup? Problem is that we, the chazaka is the animal's kosher. The rov is, right, the Gemara says that rov behemos, that most majority of animals are only the shechita. So, and the majority of shechitos done by a person who knows how to shack are kosher. And not only that, we don't check any other part of the animal. Why are we only checking the lungs? I don't get it. What are we doing? 90% of the animals. What? Who? Forget about that. No. We don't check 99% of an animal. Then we throw out the rest of the animal after she comes. I understand. Why don't we check every part of you? Maybe there was a little puncture here and we should be closer to the trade front. But we don't check anything else. Just check the lungs. What's shot? Why do we only check the lungs? What's shot? Guys, go. Why do we only check the lungs of an animal? What's the answer? Sort of. So close. The din is the following. Listen, the din is. What? What? No, it's not your issue. The animal's tree. I don't care how much we do this. Says the Gemara, the lungs are what's called a miut hamatsuri. Anyone know what a miut hamatsuri means? It's like a contradiction in terms. A miut hamatsuri means a common minority. What does that mean? So, says the Gemara the following. 99% of an animal, there's like literally less than 1% chance that anything's wrong with that animal. Unless we have reason to assume otherwise, right? So it may not sound like I can assume that majority of the animal is probably fine. When it comes to the lungs, there's like a 10% chance. So a 10% chance, that's called a miut hamatsuri, a somewhat common occurrence. It's not very common. It's very unlikely to happen, but it's slightly more likely than any other part of the animal, and therefore we have a chiyuv to check the lungs. Miut hamatsuri. That's what the Gemara says. And many achronim discuss this. But this piece, chazaka and rov, the maisa, we check the lungs, okay? Because of the miut hamatsuri, okay? That is a din. So says the Shach, the very fact that there's a din of bedikas hareya, there's a notion of checking the lungs, that would seem to indicate that, of course, there needs to be some baseline where I can ascertain the animal's kosher. I can't just be like, I'm going to check the animal, and I'm going to assume the animal's kosher, and call it a day. Normally, I would, of course, say such a thing. The problem is, we have a baseline halakha that we're checking the lungs. If we're checking the lungs, that obviously means that we're not just accepting that for that, and calling it a day. There has to be a baseline that we accept, that we check the lungs, and therefore that's our starting point of being kosher. That is the shot. Now, Shulchan Aruch writes the following. If I have a fruit that typically gets an orange, it's a different festival, right? All the famous jokes about the apple and the orange, right? So if I have a fruit that normally gets infested, gets, you know, filled with bugs, whatever, so the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to eat that fruit until you check it. Sounds pretty logical, right? Don't eat fruits that are likely to have bugs until you check the fruit set. Fine. If you look at the bottom of page 56, the Moshe has a fast kitshuva about carrots. What are the issue with carrots? So in Europe, carrots were filled with bugs all the time. And apparently, nobody, at least in the fur population, nobody ate carrots in Europe. It was so hard to check for bugs in carrots. There's so many bugs in carrots that nobody ate. Somebody asked for Moshe, yeah, but in America, there are no bugs in carrots. Why are there no bugs in carrots in America? What changed? Pesticides, right? We spray pesticides, whether we should or not. We spray pesticides in all of our food, right? So now, if a bug tries to get through carrot, it's going to drop dead, right? So we don't have bugs in carrots anymore. So said, well, dead bugs, you can brush the dead bugs off. But if there are bugs falling around all alive, it's hard to check for them. So the guy asked for Moshe, so should this halakha change? Okay. Bugs are through orange, whatever. No, So Ramosha says that the fact that no one in the world is going to buy bug-filled carrots, which therefore means that the FDA and whoever sells carrots are going to be very mocked if their carrots are bug-free, is a pretty good indication that you're buying bug-free carrots. Right? We're going through a story like, what? Ramosha. Similar, except Ramosha may actually hold this. What? Can't hear you. chazaka to the carriage or what? No good? No, but that's the whole point, though. That chazaka was only true because in Europe they never sprayed pesticides on it. When you spray pesticides, that whole chazaka falls out the window. So Rav Moshe says, we're going to be making. We have no reason to be machmir if I know for a fact that there are no bugs. He says that a baal nefesh should be machmir. But again, it's not as no one's machmir about carrots. Everyone knows there are bugs around in the carrots. By the way, you should know, derech haka, very interesting thing. Gemara Nechulin, and Gemara Pesach makes reference to this also. The pasuk we mentioned earlier, in Parashat Shemini, the pasuk says that there's an isser to eat, asheretz hashoretz al ha'aretz, right? So what does that mean? A bug that crawls on the earth. What would that translate to for a bug? So let me ask a question. The Torah says, don't eat asheretz hashoretz al ha'aretz. What is not included in that isser? Okay, interesting. I was going to think about that. What? Okay, I'm not going down that route of flying bugs, because those would probably also go on the ground at some point. What do you think Sheretz HaShoretz Al Ha'aretz is probably going to exclude? The Gemara says, a bug that never crawled on the ground. What does that mean practically? Let's say I have a vegetable, or some kind of lettuce, cabbage, and a bug was born in the lettuce, and it never left. It was in the lettuce its entire life. How do you know that for a fact? Whatever. Let's assume you know. You know this bug has been in the lettuce forever. So says the Gemara, Meikar Adin, it's mutter lichachila to eat that bug. Why? Because the Torah says the Isra of Sheretz is only bad to eat a Sheretz HaShoretz Al Ha'aretz. This Sheretz is never Shoretz Al Ha'aretz. He never crawled on the ground. He crawled on the left. Now, yes, the Gemara says that if you're disgusted by it, then maybe Baal Tashak, too, fine, it's all true. But technically, that bug is mutter ba'achila. Why? Because it's never Shoretz Al Ha'aretz. Says, don't eat a sheretz hashoretz al ha'aretz. We can't start making assumptions based on things that we think should be correct, right? You have to define what the answer is, right? So the Torah says sheretz al ha'aretz, that must come to exclude something that's not sheretz al ha'aretz. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Okay, by the way, guys, also the shock points are over here. The point is, of course, the Bible is 57, that fruits that never become wormy obviously don't require anything. I don't have to check a fruit that never in a million years ever get a worm in it or a bug in it. That I don't have to check. By the way, the Rashba, in the middle of page 57, a little out of order here, the Rashba has a fascinating tshuva about the following situation. This happened, I assume it's happened in Kol at some point in the past. Let's say a mosquito falls into your soup. This is not a Borer Shabbos issue. This is a weekday kashrus issue, okay? A mosquito falls into your soup, and I can't find the mosquito. So one of two things happened. Either it died and it's sitting in the bottom somewhere, or it flew out. I don't know where it is, right? So let's say I have a chashad that maybe a mosquito in my soup, right? Says the Rashba, what? Well, one second, we'll get there in a second. Says the Rashba, if soup is usher, why? Because the mosquito is called a bria, or a birria. What's a birria? A whole creation. Okay, so what? Who cares if it's a whole, what is it? What? It's not a bato. The Gemara says, it's something which is a whole creation. It's not bato b'shisha. Now, the truth is, it may be batel in like 900 and... No, not Masayim. Masayim is for Truma and Erla. Something else. It may be batel in like 960. There's some like random number the post game like invented for Abria. But we're not going to talk about that right now. It's some crazy number. What? Anyway, so the Rosh... 960 times of anything is a lot. Okay? Okay, fine. So the Rosh wants to know the following. The Rosh wants to know, okay, the soup may be treif me suffik. What about the pot? Do I have to kasher the pot? Right? We know, as we mentioned, we spoke about this earlier, that you can have bleios of treif can get into your pot. You have to kasher it. Do I have to kasher this pot? So the Rashba says that a bria only asers when it's whole, when it's showing. It doesn't aser based on pleita, based on bleios, based on things that come out of the, you know, the taste that comes out of the bug. That's not going to aser anything. But if the bug is crushed up, like we mentioned earlier, then it's totally bucked. Now this could be a saving grace for smoothies. Now, again, let's say I want to have a strawberry smoothie, right? So strawberries are filled with bugs. So, presumably, right? Okay, true. Let's say I want to have a fresh smoothie, right? I want to pick fresh strawberries, freshly picked off the bug farm, right? So now I want to crush my strawberries up. So according to the Rashba, the second that my bug gets crushed up, it's heter gomer, right? It's butel b'shisha, right? Once it's no longer a whole creature, I crush it up. Yes, it's fine. But
in a berry, there's There's a lot of bugs.
Good. Let's say I crushed up every single bug in the berry. Why is it still a problem what I did? Let's say I crushed every single bug. Every bug is crushed up and I had shisha.
Wait, it's not even buckle of shisha.
No, no, let's say I had a huge, let's say it's buckle of shisha. I bought an extra large smoothie. It was a berry, but it's crushed up. So the Rashi says when a berry gets crushed up, it's going to be buckle of shisha. Vatlin Isser Lecharchila. Excellent. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Gemara is pulling in. You're not allowed to take something and put it in a situation, Lecharchila, that will undo the Isser. For example, the most classic case. I have a cholent pot, and a drop of milk falls into my cholent pot, right? So if the cholent pot is shishim, the milk's bucket. I can't go to my cholent pot and pour more cholent into the pot after the milk falls in. That's awesome. You're not allowed to do that. That may even be an Isser Doraisa possibly. But I'm clear it's Doraisa or not. If the pot itself, in other words, if it happened by itself, the milk fell in, and the pot happens to be 6 times in out, good, pot's kosher, nothing to worry about. If the pot is 59 times in out, you're not allowed to pour cholent into that pot to bottle the milk. You're not allowed to do that. It's usher. It has to just be that way. The whole concept of bittul is passive. Either it's bottle or it's not bottle. You can't be mevatel something active. That's called in the mevatel isser lecharchila, which therefore raises our smoothie problem. How on earth am I allowed to take a fruit that may have bugs in it, legitimately may have bugs in it, and just decide, you know what, I want to crush it up? What are you doing? How do you crush it up? If there are really bugs in the strawberries. Okay, so this is a very interesting distinction. I would say, well, what if I don't know there are bugs in it? So the question is like this. The Gemara talks about a concept called Nikar HaIsher. Nikar HaIsher means that I have recognition of the fact that there's something usher here. So the question would therefore be, can I go ahead and actively be mevatel at Isser or not? Gemara makes the following distinction. There's a difference between a lack of das and a lack of knowledge in a certain situation. Let's say, I don't know if there are bugs in my food. Okay, so I don't know. So that, is that something that I can figure out on my own? It's pretty easy to figure out there are bugs in your food. Just look at the fruit. Figure out if there are bugs. So when there's a suffix in halacha, for example, so then we have this idea that I can rely on bittul to, let's say, mevatel a possible issue. But if the suffix is not in halacha, but the suffix is in metzius, I don't know if there are bugs here or not. I have no idea. That's not a suffix in halacha. That's a suffix in metzius. When the suffix is in metzius, you can't rely on bittul and just say, oh yeah, bittul will just take care of everything. You can't do that. You have to clarify what the reality is. Okay. Yeah, obviously it's possible to check. Okay, good. So the Rishonim in different contexts talk about situations. Okay, this is more of a Sheshmeitz issue about where you're not able to clarify sefikos. That's a different issue. We're not going that right now. But yeah, the assumption here is clearly that you aren't able to check and ascertain whether there are bugs in this group or not. Okay, just to make a couple of points here. How many of you know what copepods are? Copepods. Yes, it does. Excellent. Okay. In the New York water system. Sorry, Ari, if I don't know about that. In the New York water system, there's a thing called copepods. Copepods are these little tiny buds that get into the water system. And what? Yes, yeah. Apparently water tastes good. I'm not sure how that works, but apparently it does. So the question is, do I need to have a filter on my water in New York to be kosher that maybe bugs are getting into my cup of water? That was a question. This question was really raised 15 years ago. It's not really such an issue anymore. Most people have filters on their water anyway, no matter where they live, for the most part. So it's... Okay. It's fine. I mean, there were a lot of articles written in 2001 about this. It's a very old issue. But basically, the Chacham HaSadeh, in the middle of page 58, discusses that if a person draws water out of a well, you have to strain that water before you cook it. You cannot rely on the fact that cooking that water will kill the bugs, as we pointed out before, in the body that's like a chila. It's not good enough. But you can't just say, oh, I'll kill the bugs when I cook them. You have to strain out the bugs. Get rid of the bugs first before you're able to actually cook the water. Go to page 59. We pointed out also there are a number of exceptions to the rule of bittul. We pointed out that a beria, right, a whole object, a creature, is not bavel. As an extension of that rule, the Shach in top page 59 quotes also that if something is a davar chashuv, if something is a independent unit, what the Gemara calls a chaticha haruya lehiskavi. Let's say, you know, a really hefty piece of steak, a nice piece of meat, something like that. Let's say, in other words, normally we assume that I have all the rules of bittul. Milk falls into my chalpat, it's bavel. But let's say milk falls in. like pot of like caviar. Let's say, assuming that the caviar is not fish, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, let's say pork balls, it's like caviar. So caviar is not just like chunk. Caviar is like really cut, it's really expensive, right? So when it's a chaticha, really scavenge, it's a really crushed, expensive type of thing, rules of don't apply there. Could be a million times, it doesn't matter. It's not gonna be bato there either. Okay. Okay, fine. Also, okay, that's for that point. And now going to page. Oh, this, I want to show you this one point that I'm in for Asher in page 60. The Aruch HaShulchan discusses how in the summertime bugs are very common, and he says you should be careful about them. We pointed out before that according to some that a bria is batel in 960 times. Okay, the chumrah some folks can have. It's not so clear where that comes from. It may be based on Kabbalah. It's not so clear exactly what the source for that should be. The Ravid says that a bria is batel in 1200. So again, these kind of numbers are thrown out there. Not exactly clear where they come from. And just we'll kind of end off. Finish up the smoothie sitting right now. So, page 62, the Shimon Alevi talks about you have to look for bugs in air pockets of food to make a trick. Let's say I have food that has air pockets or bubbles in it, whatever. Do I have to look for bugs? So, he goes to Machlokes about whether we're kosher for that. He says, Me'ikar Adin, he says, if it's a Mir Hamatsui of a Reyesa, in other words, if it's a Mir Hamatsui, something which would say 10% chance, so that it's only a Chumra Ba'alma to look for those bugs. Me'ikar Adin, if I don't look for the bugs, it would still be kosher. Let's say, for example, you have to do the decos on the lungs. You have to check the lungs. But for some reason, you're not able to. So he says that really, as we pointed out before, when the animals are still alive, because we need to do the line acceleration, it's still the cascasis. So therefore, you really have to do the decos to make sure that the animal is kosher. At this point, we mentioned earlier, the Mishkinos Yaakov, which is the famous shuba that Reshef always likes to quote, the Mishkinos Yaakov discusses in the shuba that the Mir Hamatsui is 10%. In other words, the notion, the reason we check the lungs, because there's a 10% chance that there's a trefa of some sort on the lungs, or some kind of affliction on the lungs. And therefore, he says, as a chum rabbi yama, you have to rely on that in order to be able to make the animal kosher. So, basically, when it comes to smoothies, we pointed out that even though there's an isra called in the Ba'al Isra Kafila, and again, whether that's the rice or the Ramana is not full guess, but the Maisa, we assume, if you're able to check the fruits, and certainly if the fruits are frozen, so then for sure there's not going to be any sort of kashrus issue. Again, to be aware of the fact that in general, if you have fruits that are likely to have bugs in them, you should really check them first well before any of that. Specifically applies to maror, but for Pesach, right? You should always check the fruits to make sure that you know what's in the fruits.